Friends, we are heading over to Sligo as we welcome Hubert McHugh, community mental health nurse since 1975, and of course Mary Porter, who is indeed, Mary has been a healthcare assistant in palliative care for North West Hospice, located in County Sligo. I want to welcome both of you to Irish Radio. How are you?
Good afternoon, Adrian, and thank you for having both of us on your very popular show in New York.
Thank you, too. Let me ask you, first of all, about hospice care, and particularly in the west of Ireland. I know you're going to be here next week, for the next couple of weeks, and you will be fundraising for a new hospice, in the new hospice building, which is actually going to cost approximately €6 million, and it's Northwest Hospice. Let me first of all ask you about hospice care, palliative care, particularly in the West.
I'll just put you on to Mary now here on that, because Mary's highly involved with the hospice and has been, so I'll let Mary speak to you about the hospice.
Hello, Mary. How are you?
Adrian, hi. How are you? And thank you very much for having us on your show. Hospice in the West of Ireland, the North West Hospice, looks after a community of people of Sligo, Leitrim, North Donegal, South Donegal and West Cavan, and that's a population of about 110,000 people. And palliative care and hospice is about looking after and supporting patients and their families with life-limiting illnesses. Now, a lot of people will consider that to be cancer and cancer alone, but it's not just that. It's also non-malignant cases. So people with things like motor neuron, cardiac failure, things like that, we would look after patients with those symptoms and conditions as well. We do that from the Northwest Hospice, which is on the Mall in Sligo, and we have a consultant-led multidisciplinary team. So that's a consultant, a palliative consultant, doctors, nurses, healthcare assistants, and they all work from our base on the Mall in Sligo. But not only does the hospice look after patients in the hospice itself, but they also look after the people in the community. So that's where we're based, and that's where we've been working from. And we've been doing that since a lady called Claire Campbell in 1986 saw that there was a serious gap in the system for people with cancer and families, that they needed support, and the support wasn't there. And she started an organisation and a group of volunteers. And between them literally going knocking door to door to the community looking for help and support, both physically and financially. And then she managed to get a team up and running. And then in 1998, they actually opened the doors of the hospice with the 6 beds. And those 6 beds were 2 side rooms and 4 beds on a ward. So then in 2000, and I know this is firing figures at you, but then in 2010 we did a refurbishment, so we now have 5 beds in the ward and 3 single rooms. But we're actually based in the original maternity unit of Sligo General Hospital, which was built in 1935. A fabulous building, a listed building, but at this stage not fit for purpose. But the reason we wanted to come onto your show was to say a huge and very much heartfelt thank you to the diaspora living in New York and the surrounding areas for the support that they have given us over the years. Because without our local community here on the ground of Leitrim, Sligo, South Donegal and West Cavan, and without them helping us financially, we wouldn't have the doors open at all. But we, our community, I don't even consider just the community here, but our community out in New York, the financial support that they've been sending home to us has made sure that the doors have stayed open.
Mary,
so that's why we wanted to talk to you today on your show.
Mary Forte, how did you get involved with the hospice?
My journey with the hospice started one day when I came home from work about 11 years ago, and I came home early and discovered my husband home early and in bed, and I said, what are you doing in bed? And he said, I've been diagnosed with cancer. Now, we both knew he had been ill, and we thought, he hadn't been to a doctor, but he'd been losing weight. So we both decided, well then, we know what we're up against, now we all have to do is get a plan, get to doctors, get some treatment, and we get sorted. And that was our plan. And we got to the doctors, and the medical team got together, and they said, right, you're going to have some chemotherapy, then you're going to have some radiotherapy, then you're going to have a fairly major operation, and hopefully it'll all work out.
What kind of cancer was it, Mary?
Unfortunately, he had bowel cancer. Now, bowel cancer, for your listeners, is one of the more treatable ones, but you have to get it early. In our case, we had, I won't say Tony had been ignoring the symptoms, but we didn't get to a doctor. We could have got to a doctor sooner, and we didn't. But in fairness, the doctors were brilliant, and he did his chemotherapy, and that went well. And then he went to Galway Hospital for his radiotherapy, and that wasn't too bad. But then his symptoms started to catch up with him, and we ended up back in Sligo. And then one day in Sligo, they said, look, we really need to get Tony to Dublin because his condition is deteriorating, and we can't, if it gets worse, we won't be able to do anything. So he was rushed to Dublin by ambulance, and was very unwell on the journey, but the ambulance crew were brilliant, and they got him to Dublin. And when we got to Dublin, we got him stabilised, and the team up there were fabulous. And the plan had always been to go to Dublin for the operation. So once they got him stabilised, I sort of thought, okay, we're sorted now, he can have his operation. So after about 3 days in Dublin and waiting to see the surgeon, I eventually was in the corridor, saw the surgeon walking down the corridor, and I just grabbed him and I said, look, you and I have to meet up because we have to see when Tony's having his operation. And he just brought me to one side in the corridor and he said, Mrs. Forty, I'm sorry to tell you, but if you want your husband to die at home, you need to bring him home in the next few days. So you can imagine that was not what we had hoped for and not what we wished for or prayed for or wanted. So in my total panic, I rang my best friend in Sligo and I told her what was going on, and she said to me, Mary, bring him home to the hospital. And I said, no. And she said, but I'm telling you, it is the best place. They are absolutely incredible. This is where you need to be. And I said, no. And she said, why not? And because my understanding back then was a hospital was where you went to die. Now, bearing in mind that the surgeon has told me that Tony has a couple of days left, but I still didn't want to bring him to the hospice. But she convinced me, and we were very lucky. We got a referral to the hospice, and 2 days later, we were transferred back to Sligo. And that was the beginning, Adrian, of, the way I describe it, it was the beginning of the most positive experience at the most heartbreaking time of our lives. When we arrived at the hospice, Tony could hardly lift his head off the pillow. And I thought when you went to hospice, they brought you in, they tucked you into a bed, they gave you painkillers and waited for the inevitable. But actually what happened was we went in, the multidisciplinary team led by the consultant reviewed his case, they reviewed his symptoms, and they consulted with the doctors and surgeons next door in the hospital. And they came back to me and they said, look, we cannot do anything for Tony's cancer, we cannot stop it, but we can alleviate his symptoms. And a surgeon next door has agreed to do a small operation and give him a colostomy bag, which would bypass his bowel cancer, and give him a quality of life that he didn't have. Now, at this stage, he could not get out of bed, he wasn't eating, he was on fluids. And they explained to me the risks, and they explained to me the pros of having the operation. And the surgeon very straightforward said to me, he said, now, Mary, there is a chance we will lose Tony on the table, but the quality of life he will have if he gets through this will be so much better than he has now. And because the hospice team were able to sit down and explain it to me, I was able to make an informed decision. And Tony did have that operation, and that turned around all of his symptoms. He was able to eat, he was able to drink, and he actually, Adrian, started to put on weight. And the hospice, we were in a single room in the hospice. My two children at that stage were five and 15. And when they came in to see their dad, they had space to see him in the hospice, and they could sit with him, and there was a day room, so if the kids got bored, because you can understand, young children, they want to see their dad, but they're not going to sit there for hours on end. So the staff were so supportive of the children as well as myself, And hospice is patient-centered care, but they don't look after just the person in the bed. They look after the whole family.
You had mentioned, indeed, that we associate hospice care with cancer. And to a degree, I suppose that's understandable. However, hospice care, I want to go to Hubert, back to Hubert McHugh, who has been, working in community mental health for now some...
Yes, Adrian. I've spent the last, since 1975, 43 years working with the mental health services in South Leitrim. Our headquarters, again, would be based in Sligo, and it has been a most rewarding 43 years for me. As I said, I get up every morning with a pep in my step, and I be invited into families' homes to deal with the clients. And I have learned so much from these clients that's made me the person I am. They're just wonderful people, and the families that care for them are wonderful. And it's a very rewarding job.
Let me ask you, Hubert, well, first of all, congratulations on being Leitrim Guardian Person of the Year. But also, I want to ask you about a problem that we have here as well, and that is that hospice care, which used to be almost exclusively provided in hospitals and in special palliative care facilities, that has changed to the point where now it would appear that the medical health profession would prefer, and they are moving rapidly towards providing that palliative care in the home rather than in the hospice itself.
Yes, and I'll let Mary come in on this again. There is a home care team in the hospice in Sligo, and they come to families, be it in Sligo, Leitrim, South Donegal and West Cavan, and work with the families, providing support both to the patient and to the family of the patient. And they leave maybe their last few weeks or months much more comfortable for both the patient and their families.
And economically and through the health boards, this turns out actually to be a better choice.
Yes. Now, the hospice here in Sligo, they raise $1 million each year to keep the hospice up and going. And as I said, it takes that much funding that's raised in a local level in this area, plus what Mary has been saying, our contributions that come from the States, from New York, from London, Australia, and different places. And yes, the government does put some funds into the hospice as well.
Much criticised, indeed, and I suppose we could say the same here, much criticised for not, putting more into,
yes,
mental health care and basically hospice, apart from the fact that, yes, the government has and continues to support palliative care, that without what you are doing and what you're going to New York for in terms of seeking much-needed funds, a lot is left to be desired. And the Irish consulate on 1st of March, a couple of days ago, we, for the launch of month of St. Patrick's Day,
yes,
we ran into Frank Brady from Leitrim, the Association of New York, Ray,
yes,
Conlon, Sligo Association, Pat McGettrick, indeed a maid to the New York City Grand Marshal. All of them are lining up people from that specific area to address a problem that has been dragging up until now, and that is you need a new hospice building. Tell us a little bit about that.
If I could just come in on that, Adrian.
Yes,
The building, the service that has been provided is second to none in my personal experience, having lived through it with my husband, Tony. The issue we have at the moment is the building. We have a five-bedded ward. So you've got five people in five beds in one large ward. And I suppose, to put it to you honestly and bluntly, if you're in that bed and your family are visiting, they don't want an audience. And the people that are the audience don't want to be the audience. And it's not fit for purpose. So ideally, we have three single rooms, but overall we've only got eight beds. So the new hospice will have 12 single rooms with en-suite facilities. And it's what's known as best practice. And it makes much better outcomes for the patients and their families. And I know what you're saying about, you know, getting funding. Now, we have to say the HSE are very supportive, and you know they give us grants. They have paid some of our staff and our doctors, but on top of that, we have to raise the 1 million every year from the community to keep the service going that we have.
Yeah, what I'm
and
hearing,
that again brings us back to why we're talking to diaspora, because fortunately, with where we have the site, and the site is beside where we, our existing building is at the moment. So our plan is to keep the existing hospice open and running, so nobody's going to be without hospice while we build the new hospice. So we have been in, my boss, Luna Kinsey, who's the manager of the hospice, has been in talks with the health minister, and he has made a commitment to come down and see us in March. So we're very hopeful. I don't know what's come out of it, but we are very hopeful. But in the meantime, we have to keep going ourselves and get the funding together to build with you.
You're coming to New York, and I'm sure you'll be meeting a lot of people. What is actually shocking in your story is the very limited number of palliative care beds. I mean, if that's for the entire area that you're speaking about, it is just as well that you know, hospice care is concentrated on home care. We welcome you to New York, and in fact we will get is there a website, is there something that we can
Yes, absolutely. You can. It's just northwesthospice.ie. We also have a Facebook presence. And if anybody wants to get any more information about the hospice or itself, you can get onto our new website, Northwest Hospice. You can, if anybody has any questions, they can contact me at mary@northwesthospice.ie. If they just want to send me an email. So it's very straightforward, mary@northwesthospice.ie. And my phone number, my mobile phone number, if anybody wants to contact me, is 087-063-9659. That's 087-063-9659. Can I just go back and to say to Adrian, when Tony's recovery, and I say recovery for the short period, when they got him, that he was able to eat and able to sit up in the bed, and then they got him to the stage where he was walking. One day I walked into the hospice and they said, Mary, we have a bit of news for you. Tony wants to go home. And my husband got to come home to our house, and the home palliative care team used to come out and check on him, and if he needed anything, any different drugs or anything like that, they used to come out and visit us in the home. But that meant that my children got to have their dad at home. So when I say to you that our journey, and everybody's journey with the hospice is different, our journey was a most positive experience and a most heartbreaking time, you can understand what I mean. When they gave us that 10 months of a window where Tony was able to be at home with the family, it gave Tony his time to get his head around what was going on, and it gave our children time and myself time to understand what was going on, but just to spend those precious months together. And that has stood to my children to this day. So for me, I'm passionate about the hospice because I know what they can do, and I know what they do on a daily basis, not only in the inpatient unit, but also out in the community and in our other acute hospitals, because we have teams that go into the other hospitals and support the doctors and nurses there as well.
I know.
Adrian,
yes,
I just would like to give you my contact number over there when I'm in New York as well, and
yes,
it's 087-245-0656. And I'd want to thank Nuala Ginnelly, who's travelling with us, as is Mary and myself, and I want to mention somebody else. She's Valerie Ward. Valerie and myself work in co with mental health services here in South Leitrim, and the two of us can't go together, so she's minding the house while I'm away. But I want to thank her for all the wonderful work she has done in organising this trip and supporting me in many ways as Leitrim Person of the Year for the last 12 months. And her husband's uncle is Pat McGettrick, and I think you're all very aware of him and the Sligo people of the wonderful work Pat does in New York, and Pat is meeting us and hosting us over there and helping us as well.
Well, you couldn't have a better host than Pat McGettrick. So for people in particular, Sligo, Leitrim, South Donegal, West Cavan, and indeed not restricted to those areas, but we look forward to your coming, and also to create that awareness, you know, of hospice care, which, as I say, could be much more widely provided for. But again, for the area of the northwest there, it's something well worth supporting. We look forward to your coming. The website again?
Northwesthospice.ie.
Northwesthospice.ie. Okay, thanks for
joining. Can I just say one last thing, Adrian?
Yeah.
Just to say that this, when you come under the care of the hospice, it is absolutely 100% free. And that's why we do the fundraising. So when the people come to us, with my own personal journey, you know, when you've got a married couple with two children, like our example, Tony had to give up work because he was sick. And as he got iller, I had to give up work to look after him. Had we had to pay for the hospice service when we got there, he would never have got in the front door because we weren't in a financial situation to pay for it. So that's why it's so important that the hospice is maintained for all of the people in all of the community.
Little known, indeed, on our side of the Atlantic, and as we are broadcasting worldwide, I'm sure that many listening to both of you this morning will indeed need to think about how much more can be done with proper funding. And so this message goes out to the diaspora. Okay, thank you to both of you, and we will...
Thank you, Adrian, and thank you for giving us the time to sell our little message over there.
Right.
And we look forward to meeting everybody from Leitrim and Sligo, South Donegal and West Cavan, and hopefully we'll be able to meet yourself and Owen, you can hear over there.
Absolutely. Our thanks to Mary Forte, healthcare assistant and palliative care, and Hubert McHugh, community mental health nurse for 43 years, Northwest Hospice, coming to New York not for fun and games, but rather to seek and hopefully have a successful trip here, raising funds for Northwest Hospice located in Sligo. Thanks to both of you. And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, and we have a message from Mutual of America.